Presbyterian pastor John Leith once wrote, "Revelation is the clue that enables one to put together the disparate experiences of life into a meaningful, coherent whole, to see a pattern and purpose in human history, to overcome the incongruities between what life is and what life ought to be. In a very, very short period of time, the first century people of the journey overcame the incongruities of what their life was into what life ought to be, all in the telling of the story of the resurrection. To begin with, all four Gospels tell of what was originally an oral tale of the two Marys, come to the tomb to anoint Jesus' dead body with spices and oil of myrrh, who instead met an angel who tells them that Jesus is not in the empty tomb, for he is alive and is risen. This is the very first report we have of Jesus' resurrection, and we hear it read to us every Easter Sunday. The second resurrection appearance of Jesus to his disciples happens on the evening of the same day as the story of the two Marys. The disciples are reeling from the shameful and public execution of their teacher and rabbi, the Messiah, the one to come to save them all. Fearing their own prosecution, or at least being ostracized from their own communities, they are worried for their lives, huddled in a closed room behind a locked door. Miraculously, Jesus gets past that locked door, and immediately standing in their midst, which frankly would have freaked me out, Jesus says, "Peace be with you." And he shows them his hands and his feet and his side. And again he says, "Peace be with you," meaning don't worry. You don't have to stay behind locked doors. Then he tells them, since the Father has sent him, he is going to send them. But first he breathes the Holy Spirit upon them, anointing them with power to go out from behind that closed and locked door to forgive sins. After the two Marys and the disciples in the locked room see Jesus, he appears to them again. They are still in the same house, same room. This time Thomas, who was absent before, is with them. They haven't really listened to the first appearance because the door is still locked. And Jesus again appears in their midst. And again, I would be freaked out by that whole appearing behind locked door thing. Jesus tells Thomas to touch his wounds so that Thomas might believe, which of course he does, saying, "My Lord and my God." And then there's today's reading, this third Sunday of Easter, and it follows the day that Jesus asked Thomas to touch his wounds. So we are going to join the people of the journey on the road to Emmaus this morning. So I'd like you to close your eyes as I narrate for you that long ago day on the road from Jerusalem to Emmaus. So if you are able, please close your eyes and go with me. It is 3 days since Passover, and two of Jesus' followers, one named Cleopas, are walking back to Emmaus on the dusty, well-traveled road that links it to the pilgrim city of Jerusalem. During the long walk of 7 miles, they speak of the powerful appearances of Jesus come back to life from the dead. Now, most everyone walked in those days, so there were a lot of strangers on the road, a lot of dust being raised, everyone coming and going to Jerusalem for Passover, or to conduct business, or visit family or friends. So it would not be uncommon for Cleopas and his friend to start up a conversation with a stranger. A stranger, since their eyes are kept from recognizing Jesus. The stranger asks them, "What are they discussing? What are they talking about?" And they kind of ask him in ancient Aramaic speak, "Where have you been?" Have you been living under a rock? Haven't you heard of the amazing things that are happening in Jerusalem? The stranger asks them, what things? And they tell him of Jesus' crucifixion and death, the amazingly empty tomb, and the appearances of a risen Lord. And still unrecognized, the stranger speaks of Scripture, of Moses, of the prophets. And though they don't know it yet, he interprets things about Jesus to them. It takes the rest of that long day to get to Emmaus, talking and listening all the way, and they finally arrive at nightfall, a dangerous time to walk alone on the roads, so they invite the stranger to stay with them. And as they sit down at the table to eat, the stranger takes bread, blesses it, breaks it, and gives it to them. And in that very moment, their eyes are opened, and you may open your eyes in this moment. For Jesus is seen sitting at table with them, and then he vanishes from their sight. Needless to say, they don't stay there that night. They have good news to share, and they can't wait to share it. They gather up the courage to travel back to Jerusalem on that dangerous road. They go back and they want to tell the disciples that they'd met Jesus on the road to Emmaus, that the risen Lord was with them. So when they get to Jerusalem, eager to tell their own story, they hear the story of the 11 disciples and their companions, of Jesus appearing to them and to Simon Peter. The book of Acts tells us four times that this community of believers will come to be called the people of the journey. The people of the journey. Kate Huey, in her sermon Seeds Reflection, believes that these resurrection appearances are powerful stories of community, of believers, doubters, and strugglers gathering and breaking apart and gathering again, coming together and telling the stories of their experiences, sharing their memories of Jesus, his acts and his words, and then, like people of faith today, shining the light of Scripture on that experience and coming to new understandings. But that's not all. They sit down at table together and break bread, and often, more than intellectual understanding, they come to see with their hearts what was right before them. So we, you and I, a people of the journey, together with Cleopas and his traveling companion, with the two Marys and the 11 disciples in the locked room, are on an incongruous journey together. Who among us hasn't felt blinded by sorrow and confusion that things didn't go the way we'd planned on the dusty road of life? Who among us hasn't wondered how the chances and changes of this life could blind us to hope so quickly? Remember, it's only been 3 days, and the disciples have lost all hope, and they huddle behind a locked door. Who among us doesn't carry broken dreams? Who among us hasn't wondered, where is God in all of this? Well, that and those questions, the people of the journey, is just how the two Marys and Cleopas and his companion and the 11 bereft disciples and their companions felt. That's how they felt in those days following Christ's public execution and death. And we share their road, their journey of faith. But that wasn't the end of the story for them, and it doesn't have to be the end of our stories either. The embodiment of all their hopes and dreams walked beside them on the road that day, and Jesus walks beside us still. Whenever we invite him in, Jesus says yes to the invitation to stay. Whenever we offer to share our bread with him, in the words of Shannon Michael Pater in Feasting on the Word, Jesus takes the bread that is on hand, and in the blessing and in the breaking, new life and new eyes are offered. So for the remaining time of the 50 days of the Easter season, I want to leave you with some questions to ponder from Kate Huey. So these questions are going to hopefully encourage you to think about your own Road to Emmaus story, your own sermon of faith, if you will. When have your eyes been opened because someone welcomed you in as a stranger? When have you opened your door or your life to a stranger, someone you didn't expect to be a blessing? Think of the times when news or your own life unfolded in ways that shook the foundations of what you believed in. And what did you do to find peace in all of these questions? So those questions are made to encourage you to go on your own journey, your own dusty road to Emmaus. But I want to leave you with something that I think is important for us to remember. The time period when the risen Jesus was revealed to many lasted a mere 50 days. 50 days to instill this world-shaking change into the incongruity of life. 50 days from the day of Easter Sunday to the day that our Lord ascends to heaven. 50 days, less than 3 months. Time enough to change from what life is to what life ought to be. Time enough to change the world. So won't you join me on the road to Emmaus? And may all God's people say, Amen. Amen.